You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello, good friends. Christy Simone here. Thomas Callahan, good morning, sir. I don't know why I started off in my NPR.
I was going to say, you're
today.
Very NPR this morning.
Yes. We have Shostakovich's Piano Concerto No. 2 in D minor by Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy of the Fields coming up. After that, Lakshmi Singh will give you a groundbreaking story about all the different colors and flavors of ice cream Nancy Pelosi has in her freezer. Thank you, Lakshmi. Hey, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We got a fun show. The return of the sports intern at the bottom of the hour. And then we got Frank Figliuzzi, the FBI Way author. We'll talk about that. And then we have author John Kim, single on purpose author. Wow, look at that. So a couple of new authors for the new year as we get into it. Lots of stuff to cover today. Tomorrow will be a fun food Friday. We have Locale, L-O-C-A-L-E, and they took over the beautiful restaurant building on Alvernon just north of Broadway, which for a long time successfully was Bob McMahon's Old Pueblo Grill. And then it was the thing run by the Brother John's Barbecue Brothers, the Abaticolas. I think it's Abaticola. I got that wrong, I think. Anyway, that lasted about 3 months, and it's been empty for a while. And so the new owners took it over, and they're going to be on the show tomorrow. And looks like we're getting Italian food tomorrow at 7:07, Mr. Callahan. So,
well, I'll have to remember to take my omeprazole before I come in then. Usually I don't get to it till after.
What's an omeprazole?
That's the stuff that keeps your tummy from refluxing.
Wow, look at you. Such a sensitive little tummy on you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And then Tim Sandifer will be here from the Goldwater Institute. We'll talk about Pima. He loves Pima County. So we'll talk about worldview a little bit, and then we're going to talk about why did Goldwater jump on with Grant Kruger, Cobra Arcade, and the various people against Pima County on their curfew that we know they have no actual data or science to back up. So that'll be fun. That'll be a hoot, as we like to say. Actually, there's something I'm going to get to. I just asked the question a couple of days ago. I mentioned it when Matt was on yesterday. Why stay on? What are the reasons to stay on Facebook? Because I know there's a bunch of you who are jumping off. And I don't blame you. I'm not. Chris is not here to say, you know, why would. How dare you? That's. As Austin Powers once would say, that's not my bag, baby, right? But I asked, and what's amazing is I'm up to like 170 comments on why. So we'll go through that a little bit. We know that Pima County sucks on roads, business environment, and other things. I'm going to give you something else that they suck at that's kind of really, really important. We're going to talk about settled science, right? Because that's the thing with some of these health professionals is we're just going to stick to whatever we told you before, even though it may not work. And one of our listeners sent me this article and a picture that's just amazing. So we'll do a little bit of that. What else are we going to do today? We're going to talk about some double standards out there. What else are we going to do today? We got that. Let's see. My boy Michael Beatrice he'll be on next week, so I'll save that on for next week. He'll be on Tuesday after Martin Luther King birthday day. What else do we got here today? I just want to do a quick little rundown. We're going to talk. Oh, of course, we got to talk about the Democrats' brave impeachment. And how this really doesn't do anything for anybody. It does nothing for anybody. But that's okay. And again, all of you Democrats out there or people who are supporting Democrats, you have to stop telling the Republicans it's time to unite and heal because you don't really mean it. Because if you meant it, you would tell these people, just let this guy go away. But we'll talk about that. Now, we know the Arizona Republican Party wants to censure Cindy McCain or whatever. I'm going to give you someone who they really should censure before it's all over. What else do we got here today? Oh, we're going to talk about how the Democrats changed some House rules leading up to this, which will be fun. Some more healing words from Democrat Representative Swalwell, of course, he's the guy with the really hot Chinese girlfriend who turned out to be a spy, even though he's on the House Intelligence. So we'll talk about Swalwell healing. Hashtag time to heal. I love it so much. I love it. Andy Biggs gets pounded in the Arizona Republic, and they mention his interview on KVOI with us. But of course, no one ever mentions the name of the show, or they're not into that. You know, they just say on 10:30 a.m., which is fine. I love the idea that we got a little bit of love in the Arizona Republic. So lots of birthdays today. Well, I feel like, you know, so Dave Grohl's a big one. LL Cool J is pretty solid. We got Zach Wilde, who, of course, is an amazing guitarist for Ozzy. I like Zach. You know who we missed yesterday? And I don't think it was on the list. My boy Trevor Rabin it's funny, I gave you Trevor Rabin songs yesterday. I totally forgot it. I didn't even realize it was his birthday yesterday.
So I thought that was why you gave me Trevor Rabin songs.
Close.
Even blinked.
That was just my psychosis, my prog rock psychosis. And then Pat Benatar. I feel like we missed.
That was not on the list. Weird.
So anyway, we got a variety of stuff we got to cover. Now, we also got to do... Now, we said bad covers, though.
Yeah.
Is today we do bad covers?
It's tough with all those birthdays, but I mean, we could probably... I don't know.
Do we have enough bad covers? We got to have enough bad covers to do an entire show, right?
Yeah.
What's a bad cover that's like sticking in the right in the front of your skull right now?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I haven't prepared my list for this yet.
All right, let's do this next week. Well, let's do it next
all right,
week.
Let's do, all right.
When we come back, we're off Monday.
Oh, we are off Monday, yes.
So there'll be a best of for MLK Day. So on Tuesday, that'll be your bad cover song. So anyone, if you want to help us out with really bad versions of people doing really bad versions of other people's songs, we'd love to hear it from you. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, hashtag time to heal. Wake up. That sounds a little Zachy.
It is Zachy.
Yes. 6:19 in the morning, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. So what's really amazing is, so we had the quote, you can't escape it, right? I can't even watch YouTube TV without suggested channels. The second impeachment of Donald Trump, right? Again, if you look at the what they're impeaching him for, it has nothing to do with what you can impeach a president for. This is just a feel good stomp on the grave of Donald Trump as he walks out of the presidency. And they again, it's not like the Democrats are doing anything that's quote illegal or something. I guess they can. I don't know, because the Wall Street Journal editorial board had a nice, you know, succinct op-ed about this, saying this is not an impeachable offense. And I know they wanted to get him impeached before the inauguration of Biden, but the turtle, Mitch McConnell, isn't going to do it, so they'll have to do it after he leaves office to, quote, impeach him. And it's the petty hit back against Trump. And, I guess it's a free country. Go do it. But what the powers that be don't get, right? So when you change the House rules so people can get up on the House floor, Oh, sorry. Remember all you people on the January 6th? You're like, oh, the sacred house of the people. You guys are cute. It's only sacred if you treat it as sacred. I don't see that much sacred stuff going on at the House of Representatives in the last so many years. So they changed the rules that you can now call people racists and white supremacists and all this stuff so they could go have their moments of theater with Donald Trump. Now, again, this is why when you see this vitriol against Trump, right? And don't get me wrong, he hit them with everything he had to. Okay? He is not a choir boy in this at all. Okay? This is a guy who what we're going to look back on is that he forgot his own book, The Art of the Deal. And some of you say, oh, he couldn't have negotiated with these people. I don't know. Why does he have Mnuchin doing negotiate? No one has their cabinet member. I never see anyone have their cabinet member negotiate budgets or money deals like this. I feel like my brother and I were talking about this with Ronald and Donald, meaning Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. Looks like, you know, Reagan was able to actually work with Tip O'Neill and Democrats and kind of get things across the board legislatively that I think Trump became so combative with these people, and that's easy to do. These are not – Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer are not honorable people. But how do you undermine them with some other Democrats, you know, ones who are in more balanced districts, this type of thing, and use the power of the bully pulpit to celebrate them, put them in a position where maybe, hey, you give them this and maybe they'll go your way on something. You know, so don't get me wrong. Donald Trump is just as much of a combatant as this. He, again, no way a choir boy and they're just picking on him, right? But now we're in the situation that we're in. And if you're the Democrats, well, let's go to the mailbag because Luke had an interesting take. He said, is the real purpose of the impeachment today? He sent this to wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, was to force lily-livered Republicans to destroy Trump as a political force because the Democrats realize they cannot destroy him on their own, as the last 4 years have proven. Now, if you're Mitch McConnell, you don't want Trump coming back. Not at all. He didn't want him there in the first place. And Trump bullied his way in based on the fact that guys like Nancy Pelosi, girls and guys like Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer and Mitch McConnell don't really run the Congress like you're supposed to. This is what you guys and girls don't get. And then when you sit there and call Trump's supporters, they've been radicalized like Al-Qaeda. Okay? Then you say, well, Chris, who said that? That sounds so horrible. Well, no one would say that. Well, I think the guy with the Chinese spy girlfriend said that. What has he got here? Yes, he has radicalized the followers the same way as Osama bin Laden. So when the Democrat with the Chinese spy girlfriend, who's back on the Intelligence Committee, says that people who are Trump supporters, all 74 million that voted for him, you guys are Al-Qaeda. You're brainwashed Al-Qaeda terrorists. What does this have to do with bringing the, quote, country back together again? Because you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. How many friends of people you work with or whatever who are Democrats are like, hey, let it go. Let's heal. If you're a Democrat who's saying, let's heal, then you should be the first person out there saying, Swalwell calling Republicans who supported Trump brainwashed Al-Qaeda terrorists. You should be the first one out there to tell Chinese girlfriend guy that he should go to hell. Do you guys get this yet? The piling on right now of what's going on post January 6th, this is not leading to a country together. So think about this. So we've had this, there's this thing in the radio world where the big companies have warned all their talk people is stop talking about a fake election. Okay. Well, when do all of these companies start saying to Democrats that you're just tearing the country apart more by letting the Dems say that Trump voters are... This is a U.S. congressman who's still on the Intelligence Committee on national television calling Trump voters brainwashed Al-Qaeda. If you're not out there as the first person saying that's wrong and you're a Democrat or someone in a position of authority, this is not leading to anything good in America. It's actually kind of sad. And I know what's happening, right? You feel they're feeling the momentum shift, or they're a Democrat themselves and they just hate Trump. You cannot let your hate of Donald Trump, if you're a Democrat, sit there and let people call other people, 74 million people, terrorists. Because in the end, if there's people who want peaceful change in the way this government is, and you keep villainizing them, right? You keep saying that they're terrorists. You support censoring people on various platforms. We had the Project Veritas guy with the big wig from PBS says that the children of Trump supporters should be put in re-education camps. He doesn't have his job anymore. But when you sit there and you let this happen, nothing good happens on the back end. All you're doing is pushing America further and further apart. And again, if you're, what's amazing about the Twitters and Facebooks of the world, your job in the, I guess they have enough money. That's the problem, right? They don't really, in the end, if you're a business and what they do, you would want people of all stripes and colors on your pages doing their thing. But because you're Democrats, you can go tell, and again, when Representative Swalwell says Trump voters are Al-Qaeda, well, you know something? It makes you feel a little better that we don't really need them. We're okay. So everyone gets pushed off into their little, staring at their phones and their echo chamber. If you think this is a good thing as a progressive movement in relation to everyone being American, you've lost your way. You have lost your way. All right, I need an aperitif sorbet here. We have Ryan Larson, the sports intern, coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. The Voice. Tom Callahan is going to give you the opening hot NHL scores from last night, too. So that's what he does. Wake up, Tucson. All right, 6:35 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We have the return of our, I got to say it every so many, legally, our unpaid intern, Ryan Larson. Ryan, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a minute. It's good to be back.
Sorry, I canceled Ryan last week because it was the day after all the craziness in the Capitol, so I knew there was just too much meat on that bone. And then he was so cute. Oh, he's like,
is there other important stuff going on?
He calls me up. He texts me yesterday. He emails me yesterday. He goes, should I be on tomorrow? I mean, this impeachment thing. There's nothing to talk about the impeachment. That's like, whatever. So I said I'd rather talk about sports with him. So first and foremost,
I just wanted to make sure.
No, I appreciate your sensitivity. Tom Callahan, of course, former radio voice of the Nashville Predators. Is that an official?
Yeah,
that's an accurate title.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So I'm watching my Tottenham game yesterday on my DVR last night, and I noticed that NHL actually started yesterday.
It did.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that going?
I mean, great, unless you're the Dallas Stars. They actually had to postpone their first couple games because of COVID.
Wow.
But other than that, everybody's playing. 56-game season. Crazy sprint to May. Off you go.
All right. Okay.
And you have the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, estimating that they're going to lose billions of dollars this year because there aren't going to be any fans at most of these games. So,
And I assume
hockey's off to a strong start.
And I assume TV ratings for hockey still kind of suck.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, across the board.
Yeah, the U.S. contract isn't great, but it is coming up for renewal, and there's rumors ESPN might jump back in on a piece of that, so the numbers would go up if they went there. Even though ESPN would rather televise poker,
they would.
I know they would.
Poker gets great ratings in that 3 a.m. slot.
Bigger than the Calgary Flames Canucks match. So, I guess, is it proper to say that the college football season ended with a whimper on Monday night?
I don't know if it ended with a whimper. It ended with another blowout in the championship game, which has become kind of a running thing with the college football playoff, is blowouts in the semifinal game. We've seen quite a few blowouts in the national title game too at this point, but you had Alabama absolutely destroy Ohio State. And in what's been a very bizarre season with a lot of weird things going on, you could say that college football still had the right national title winner at the end of the day, because Alabama has been the best team all season. They have historically maybe the best offense that college football has ever seen. And that's saying something after what we saw last year with Joe Burrow and LSU winning the national title. They had a great offense, but this Alabama team has just been unstoppable offensively. They score 52 points in the national title game. They have a Heisman winner at wide receiver now with DeVonta Smith. And then Mac Jones, their quarterback, went from being last year expected to go, he was projected to be undrafted in the NFL draft, to moving all the way up to a pretty much lock for a first-round pick this year. And this Alabama team is just absolutely stacked on offense. And then defensively, they took an Ohio State team that put up a ton of points on Clemson, and they shut them down too. And so it just doesn't seem like there was anyone in the country this year, with COVID, without COVID, anything like that, that was ever going to stop this Alabama team. So it's been a weird season. Lots gone on, but we had the right national title winner at the end of the day, and there's nothing you can really say to cheapen this national title for Alabama. It really feels deserved.
Did the Southeastern Conference show us the way that, because they just started playing football in September and went, right? And no one got killed because of COVID, I mean, all these people playing football. They show us that they had the right tact, which was start playing games, stop screwing around, and keep going.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. They definitely made the most revenue of any of the conferences. They had the most games by far. Alabama had 10 regular season games, finished the season with 13 games, which in a normal season, that is what most teams are going to play is 13. And they had fans at a lot of these games. They had a couple of postponements along the way that happened throughout the SEC. But at the end of the day, they got a lot of games in. They got some really good, really important games in. And they won the national championship, and so the SEC, as usual, comes out on top at the end of the season between Alabama and just the rest of the league being able to play so many games. And really, the SEC was the only conference that nearly all their teams accepted bowl bids, and that worked out for them as well. That's extra revenue for them.
Tell me about that. Someone sent me an article. He was Matt or Bill. Why did the Pac-12 show up at all this year in football? Was there any net positive? I guess other than Sumlin getting fired, should the Pac-12 just should have taken off the year, the way they handled it?
At the end of the day, the cynical part of me says yes. What was even the point of the Pac-12 playing this season? Because you have only two teams from the conference accepting bowl bids. You have Colorado, who accepted a bowl bid to get smoked by Texas, and then Oregon took the New Year's Six bowl bid because they won the conference despite not even winning the Pac-12 North. They just got invited to the Pac-12 championship game because of Washington's COVID issues.
How many games did they play?
I believe they played six before the conference championship game, or maybe five.
Okay.
And so you have a mediocre team winning the Pac-12. You only have two of these teams going to bowl games, and they both get destroyed in their bowl games. And it was really just an embarrassment for the conference overall. It was an embarrassment from an administrative standpoint. It was embarrassment for the teams that were on the field. And it was just a ridiculous way to end the season, where you cancel games at the beginning of the year, and then you decide later on, okay, we want to play a season. But then at the end of the year, you decide, no, we don't actually want to play in any bowl games, though, because we don't want that extra money. We don't want that extra exposure, because what's even the point of that? And it was just a mess from the Pac-12 from the beginning. And so there's a lot of really angry and upset Pac-12 fans who just don't understand any decisions the conference has made since the beginning of football season. It's just hurt the reputation of the Pac-12 even more. You can make a case for teams from any of the other Power 5 conferences making the college football playoff. The Pac-12 wasn't even in the discussion. And it doesn't seem like the Pac-12 is making any steps towards being relevant again. And the gap between them and the rest of the Power 5 only seems to be growing with this season.
Hold on. I just got a press release from the Pac-12. Larry Scott's been extended his contract for 22 more years. So...
Oh,
I'm sure that'll.
Man. I might actually cry if that ever happens.
Well, yes, Thomas.
Well, I was going to say, the best part about that is, as bad as the Pac-12 was this year, Arizona was 0-5 in the Pac-12 and mercifully had Game 6 canceled.
Again, it worked out great. Someone needed to go, so that's, I'm okay with it. But
worked out great for someone, too. You got $7 million to go.
There's a fake Kevin Sumlin account on Twitter. And after he got canned, it was so good because there was all these other job openings, right? And it says, oh, the Vanderbilt job's opening. I bet I can get, you know, $5 million a year there, work two of the 4 years of the contract and still get paid $10 million down the work.
Oh, no. Take a year off, Kevin. Explore your interests.
I think,
get a hobby.
You know what I would do? I would do a reality show with him and Rich Rod. Like on a road trip together, the two guys getting paid millions to do nothing.
Just, well, Rich Rod's downward spiral is continuing. He just got hired as the offensive coordinator at Louisiana Monroe. So
oh my gosh,
that's where he's at now.
Tell me about. Let's get back to my boy Larry Scott. What? Why is he still there? The Pac-12 Network is an absolute dumpster fire, right? They had this joke of a football season. Why is he still there?
Part of it is because he's still under contract, and his contract doesn't expire until 2022. That's when the TV revenue expires, is 2024. So he still has another year and a half on his contract. And it doesn't the Pac-12 would have to spend a lot of money to fire him. And then also they're starting to explore some other options because the conference actually hired a consulting firm to look into some of the decisions that Scott has made. But at the end of the day, the Pac-12 has just been slow to move, and they're scared to make any decisions. They are going to use COVID as an excuse of, like, this has been a strange year. It's not an example of what's going to happen in the future. And the Pac-12 is just going to keep putting off these decisions because Scott likes to make huge promises. But at the end of the day, it's been a major failure for the conference having Larry Scott as the commissioner. And they're going to move on, hopefully, at the end of 2022. But it seems like there's very little that he can do at this point to redeem himself. Fans have turned against him. Even some of the school presidents are turning against him. It's an absolute mess having him as conference commissioner. The Pac-12 should move on sooner, but at the end of the day, they're probably just going to let him run out the rest of his contract and give him another 2 years, essentially. And we're all just going to have to suffer through it and then hope that whoever they get at the end of 2022 is going to be really good at his job and somehow save the Pac-12.
So I know that the Pac-12 network is different from SEC network and ACC because of their ESPN affiliation with the other ones, right? And
right.
There's a lot of infrastructure that you inherit by that you can access through the ESPN side of this. But no one other than Larry Scott seems to like the Pac-12 network. The fans hate it. If you're they're still screwing around with DirecTV and whatever. I mean, I have, you know, it's funny. I have YouTube TV. They're the only conference I can't, that doesn't show up on YouTube TV, right? I got everything else. I got ACC. I got the Colonial Penn. I got it all network. But except for the Pac-12, I can't get that, right? So they pissed off the fans. Any coach that's not actually, all the coaches hate the way the time gets screwed around, right?
Right.
I know the soccer coaches, like Tony, doesn't like it because whatever exposure he gets for his soccer game is way minimal, but because of the time slot, they force him to play a 12 noon game on September 3rd on a 108-degree day.
Right.
Right? So it's kind of like, you know, who other than Larry Scott, who likes the Pac-12 network?
No one does. I mean, the idea behind the Pac-12 network was that the conference itself was going to control their media rights. They were going to have the rights to all these Olympic sport games, and the Pac-12 was going to be able to make money off of them and market them, and then they were going to control the rights to some of their own football games. And on paper, this sounds like a great idea for the conference. It sounds like a great moneymaker. Now, if the SEC did this, it might be successful, but the way the Pac-12 handled it has been such a mess because Larry Scott, in the formation of the Pac-12 network, he screwed up the television deals, didn't get it on DirecTV, has later not been able to get it on YouTube TV and several other of the new streaming television services. And so the Pac-12, each school is respectively gained about $1.2 million from the Pac-12 network, which is nothing when you compare it to the SEC or the Big Ten networks, where schools are getting close to $10 million apiece in revenue because the conference is partnered with an ESPN or they partnered with Fox in order to make their television network. Now, the Pac-12 was like, we want to be independent in this, and it hasn't worked out at all for them. And in the last couple of years, the Pac-12 potentially explored partnerships with ESPN and maybe some other major networks, and these networks now are like, we don't want you. They basically told the Pac-12 network, you're not worth it at this point because you don't generate any revenue. Nobody can watch your games, and it's just a mess for the Pac-12, and it seems like it's going to be a long process to ever dig the Pac-12 network out of a hole and it's in and into some sort of relevancy. And I don't know if that's going to be possible while Scott is in control because he has so much pride over this network. He wants to control it so much that it's going to be hard for him to make any concessions.
You know, Ryan, I've never heard narcissism be the downfall of anybody. That's really weird. Now I'm going to let Callahan make a remark, then we're going to go to break, and then we'll come back and we'll do some NFL. Dr. Callahan.
Real quick, I have Pac-12 Network on Sling. I have all six of them in a row.
You're paying extra, right?
I have the sports package, yes.
Yep, okay.
So they're lumped in there. But right. Here's the thing is, number one, there's rarely live programming on there. So programming is a total issue. Content is terrible. And across all six of those networks, which are lined up all in a row so I could see it, they replay the exact same game on all six at the exact same time. Most of the time. Not always. But most of the time.
But I thought it was because they had six for all the different regions, right?
They do.
You're supposed to have Oregon people get their Oregon things or whatever. But
right.
That's not going on either.
And there's no studio shows. There's no live content. There's not, why would you watch it if you're a fan? ESPN covers the Pac-12 better than the Pac-12 Network, to yeah. Ryan's point.
Amen. All right, let's go to break. We got a second round of NFL coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that. Chris DeSimone, tender Zach Wild. Mama, coming home. Wake up, Tucson. All right, 6:54 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Matt Neely just sent me that Rich Rod's going to Louisiana Monroe, and his son Rhett Rodriguez is transferring from the U of A there with 2 years of eligibility. So they're going to go into the swamps together to do some foosball, as Bobby Boucher's mama would say.
So, you know, ULMN once beat Alabama in a football game, and that only happened 13, 14 years ago.
I'm sure it'll all work out in the end. It's
Rich
like
Rod can turn him around again.
It's like McConaughey and Woody in the True Detective show, working around the swamps of Louisiana. Listener Martin, I have Pac-12 on Xfinity. The content sucks, and the video quality stinks so bad. I feel like I'm watching TV on a 1990 TV console.
Another glowing review of the Pac-12.
Thank you, Larry Scott. So I totally was like, I know they modified the NFL playoffs because of what was going on in the world. I guess it was a good thing they had six wild card games this past weekend.
Yeah, the 17 playoff format is awesome. You get three games on Saturday, you get three games on Sunday, and we had some really good games this weekend. A couple of them were blowouts, but games like the Bills and the Colts that came down to the last seconds of the game and a Philip Rivers Hail Mary attempt was great, with the Bills pulling that out. And then we saw a couple of upsets as well. We see the Browns just absolutely destroying the Steelers on Sunday. And then you see the Ravens getting the upset against the Titans at home. And it was a great weekend of football. You basically got to watch football the entire weekend if that's what you wanted to do. And now we're set up for a more standard divisional round now with four games going forward. It should be another fun weekend.
So we only got about, we got 2 minutes now. So give me all four games and tell me who you think is going to win each one.
All right, the Saturday afternoon game is Rams-Packers. I'm betting on the Packers with this one. Aaron Donald got hurt against the Seahawks, but he should be back. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. The Rams, however, don't know who they're starting at quarterback. It could be Goff. It could be Wolford. I expect Goff, but I'm betting on the Packers here. The Saturday afternoon, Saturday night game is Ravens-Bills. The Bills are at home here. Josh Allen looks pretty good against the Colts. It was a close game. But I trust Josh Allen more at quarterback more than I trust Lamar Jackson, so I like the Bills there for that win. And then for our Sunday games, Browns-Chiefs is the Sunday morning game. Cool win for the Browns against the Steelers. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to win. And then the Bucks-Saints game is Sunday night. The Bucks have looked better than the Saints. The Saints didn't look great against the Bears, but the Saints have also destroyed the Bucks twice already this season, so it feels a little risky to pick against the Saints to pick against the Saints a third time. So I would expect the Saints to win this game against the Bucks. So those are my quick picks right there.
No, that's pretty good. Usually I would have told you that in last year, if you said, well, Chris, did you watch more college or pro? Right. And I would have said, I watch more college usually than pro, right? Not this
right.
year. I guess I even though with some of the NFL's, you know, political weirdness at times, at least they were committed to doing games, and I guess I watched it more this year than I did college for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, the NFL has been really fun this year. I would say the same thing. I've watched a lot more NFL this year than in years past, but the NFL has been the most honest with us all where they're like, our most important thing is playing games. We don't really care that much about COVID. We are playing these games. We are getting our money, and we're going to let you all watch and have a good time. So it's been a great NFL season. Playoffs so far off to a really good start. I'm looking forward to the rest of the way, and hopefully we get more and more fans at these games.
All right. Well, Mr. Larson, nice job as always. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you next week.
Take care, my friend. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the book, The FBI Way, at the bottom of the next hour. And then I'm going to tell you another thing that Pima County sucks at. So I know you'll be in shock. I might drop the chair again. I might fall off the chair again. I mean, my workman's comp claim for the Bustos Media people for how many times I've fallen off the chair in shock, it's going to break the whole dynamic. All the actuary reserves, just like, wow. Wake up, Tucson.